Well, as I mentioned earlier, greetings from your brethren in Brazil, where they don't speak Spanish, but they speak Portuguese. Someone reminded me, Brazil is not such a small country. It's said to be larger in area than the 48 contiguous states combined. There were only 9 at the convention. More than half of them had never seen another Bible student before. And what was particularly outstanding that Todd mentioned is that all of them got along, which in previous times had not been so. But yes, all of them were getting along. And for just over half of them, they had never seen another Bible student before. And that would be just under half, because I think 2 of them from Curitiba, they call it, down in the south, actually were in the same town and just gotten acquainted with each other. It's a fledgling movement down there, and every one of them was an XJW. So often there's a lot of baggage that comes along with that, but in this case it seems not to have been so. All of them were glad they could be free to have a conscience towards what the scripture itself says without being told that was what they have to believe. Yes, Nana? They were there. That's Andre and Simone Cuchero. I think his middle name is Ricardo. So to us, he often goes as Andrew Richard. Yes. Perhaps as Victor Fajardo observed, the pressure is building up, and Ed Allen also says the pressure in there is building up so that they think that we're just on the verge of people flooding out of that organization. They're having difficulties up at the top deciding whether the governing body is to govern or to be shunted aside. Yes, Tracy? He has videos out, YouTube and others. I think they broadcast their meetings too. And so most of it is on the internet contact. So several of them had never seen another Bible student before. And he was happy when on Sunday one named Christian appeared, because he also is from Rio. One is a lawyer and prosecutor from Brasilia. And Wellington was his name, spelled with one L. He says, my father didn't know how to spell it. But just an aside, 3 times he very quietly and sneakily paid the bill without Todd knowing about it. So he was delighted to be there. And there were the 2 from Curitiba, I think, that are just now in contact. Christian is also from Rio, so they, with the Cucheros, are planning to get together now. Someone else who is still farther away. There's said to be a group, probably the largest group, from Sao Paulo, the same as St. Paul to us. Only none of them was able to make it, so they're thinking perhaps next year they'll put the call. Big cities, still. So, there were talks on a variety of subjects. Andre had asked most of them, and at the end, I was to give a talk on witnessing, and it was replaced by an interview, much of it having to do with the Bible student's history from Brother Russell's day on until now, and it went on for 2 hours. Oh, yes, Cindy. And not at all. Neither one of us spoke Portuguese, but I had to learn about a brigade, so I am to say obrigado when I mean thank you. So I now know one word in Portuguese. There were 3 that spoke English to reasonable English, and 1 that spoke a bit of English and says he's trying to learn it. So that's roughly half of the ones that were at the convention communicate with to a degree. One of them that doesn't speak English at all takes the hymns, and Andre has made a word-for-word translation of several of the hymns, And so he rearranges it and alters it so that it can fit the music in Portuguese, and he has now done 55 of the hymns in Portuguese. So I may have been singing it in English when he was singing it in Portuguese. Anything else on that? There is a lot of unemployment. The fellow that has taken over, not Bracero, it is the ruler, but I think it starts with the letter B. M might be his first name. At any rate, the shootings in Rio have increased since he's taken power. And I thought that didn't sound so good. But they say the reason for it is that they're going after, the police are going after the criminals now. So things apparently have gotten a little bit better since the new president has taken over. We had no problems, no at all, while we were there. The airport's on the south side of Rio. The convention was on the north side of Rio. We went through on the expressway area that looked, well, it made Newark look good. So that's an area we would not have wanted to be down in the city streets in. They have their problems there too, but unemployment has a very big down. Yes, Scott. Between the airport and the north side where we were, Copacabana, not Copacabana, but Copacabana was the area. Down, it has a beach all its own, and we were only 3 blocks away from the beach. And it was outstandingly clean. Certainly by U.S. hotel standards, it was clean. Their floors were like this, only mostly white or other light color. And as I was in the lobby, I saw one of them sweeping, and then another one was wiping the columns to make sure it was spotlessly clean. My room was immaculate, so that was a very pleasant surprise. So, and the swimming pool up on the roof, had a chance to see over in the distance that Christ the, I think Christ the Redeemer statue way over on the mountains. And there were two immersed at the convention. Andre did the discourse, and Todd did the immersing. Anything else on that? If not, then we will... Oh, and I will apologize that I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks now. Thought Marge's situation was critical, but it was a misdiagnosis. And so, I'm going to have to wait for her resurrection. I will be back November 4th, Monday, November 4th. Our topic this morning is again on the Day of Vengeance. And we considered, I think, the first 7 chapters of the volume, which was originally called the Day of Vengeance. And when Teddy Roosevelt was running for president, we stand at the Battle of Armageddon. Brother Russell changed the title to The Battle of Armageddon. So we have gone through the first 7 chapters, and I have a little bit of updated information, so I might mention it in that 7th chapter. The richest man in the world, possible exception of Vladimir Putin, is Jeff Bezos. And I reported before that he had $131 billion. But now he has less than that because his wife divorced him, and he now has $114 billion. So that's a loss of $17 billion, and she's worth about twice that $17 billion. Bill Gates has gone up from $96.5 billion to $106 billion, Bill and Melinda Gates of Microsoft. Warren Buffett had lost a little bit to $80.8 billion. And then you go to Mark Zuckerberg, Larry Ellison, Larry Page, Sergey Brin, Michael Bloomberg, who all have over $50 billion in assets. But it is true, many are generous. Would America and the world be as well off without their products? Yet many are ostentatious with their wealth, which can only infuriate the poor. That's why the nations are assembled for the Great Fire. U.S. total wealth 98,000 billion, or 98 trillion. And the world's total wealth, 317 trillion currently, averaging about 40,000 per person. Curiously, the top 3% of U.S. income taxpayers pay over 50% of the taxes, while the lowest 50% pay only 3%, to be found on Bloomberg.com. Now, man needs a purpose. Adam was given a purpose. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. Of course, he was given the job of naming the various animals. He wasn't told to name the stars and planets in the heavens, but he was told to name the animals. And you have to be a pretty good naturalist to make the names make sense. But many are unemployed, and they tend to join protest movements, whether the protest movements are good or bad. It gives them a purpose. Now, one example, I helped build TV cameras for outer space, and some of them could even detect and track missiles. Missiles were coming out of North Korea or out of the Gaza Strip or wherever it was. There was one lady that came to the fair, and she insisted that there are no missiles in Gaza. Makes me wonder, what are those bright things that went from Gaza into Israel? But nevertheless, for her, it gives her a purpose to insist on that. This was out to the fair, and I didn't bother to respond. One could go on that, but I won't. Now, many ideas are put forward as to the great solution to unemployment. One was, and this now is going back to 1897, 122 years ago, raise the minimum wage, but it also increases the incentive to replace people with less expensive machines or computers, and it increases unemployment when workers cannot compete. Another is to force employers to hire unqualified workers, but when businesses lose money, they close down. Increase regulations, but it increases costs and reduces incentive to hire people. Let the government hire everybody, but government inefficiency and political graft has been a disaster wherever it has been tried. Human organized religion and or government has led to tyranny every time it has been tried for rulership. There is no solution but Christ's kingdom. There shall be signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations in perplexity, meaning no way out. No solution from the hard right, the religious rule, the hard left, atheistic rule, or Islam. Scripture says, wisdom is justified of all her children, or wisdom is justified of all her results. So if you want to test whether wisdom is truly wisdom or not, see what it produces when it's tried. Experience says any of those three is tyranny. Consider now the cries of the reapers. This is from James, the 5th chapter, first 6 verses. Come now, ye rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver are rusted, and their rust shall be a testimony against you, and shall eat your flesh as fire. Think of how many countries there have been in which the wealthy have been deliberately destroyed. We saw it on a small scale in the French Revolution, and we've seen it many places since. Ye have laid up your treasure in the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who mowed your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth out. And the cries of them that reaped have entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, or Lord of hosts. Now, farmers in America are at the mercy of weather. But Stalin murdered, variously estimated, from 5 to 25 million farmers, primarily in the Ukraine. And surprise, they had a food shortage. And what has happened to Stalinism? Oh, Russia is back, at least part way. But when heard that Stalin had died, they tore down his statues right there in Moscow even. Now, of course, Mao murdered far more farmers in China than Stalin did in the Ukraine. They had their cultural revolution. Farmers starved. When farmers starve, eventually so does the population. Zephaniah 1:18 says, "Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of Jehovah's wrath." Conflict is irrepressible. We see information from Habakkuk. Chapter 1, "Lord, I know your people have sinned, but why allow the less righteous to administer the punishment?" The Lord says, "Yes, I know, but wait till you see what happens to them." And so, third chapter, Habakkuk says, "I exceed, Lord, righteous, even though there be no cattle in the stalls, no wheat in the silos." Now, what do we see today? We see atheism and Islam ganging together to attack what is called Christianity, as well as Israel. I think it's fair to say that if Lucifer could have one wish, his number one wish would be to destroy Israel. Maybe destroy all Israel and all of the Jews in the whole world. The Lord has said, "I will plant them again in their land, and they shall be no more plucked up out of their land, which I have given them, saith Jehovah." So, there are some people still who are supportive of Israel. And almost exclusively, they are among those who profess to be Christian, Protestant, or Catholic. So it would appear Lucifer's current intent is to take down the West. But this is having an interesting side effect, breaking down some of the barriers between Jews and Christians. Maybe this is a preparation for the kingdom? Oh, just a little bit off the record, maybe a month or so ago, watching a video clip, Palestinian from the West Bank, and he was saying, 90% of us want to be under Israel. We don't want to be under the Palestinian Authority. We don't care whether we're citizens or not, we just want to be under Israel. Well, perhaps when Satan is bound, it won't be so difficult to see the authority of the Arab Muslims changing, being supportive of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and David and Daniel and the other ancient worthies. An interesting quote from the fourth volume, this is on page 463. Consider that this is written in 1897. "We believe that considerable has already been done for the masses by collectivism, as for instance in the public school system of the United States," about that in the last few years, "the postal systems of the civilized world, municipal ownership of waterworks, etc., and that much more could yet be accomplished along the same lines. Yet all reasonable people must consent to the argument that if the sinews of selfishness which now move the world be cut, by putting all men on the same level, a new motive, power, love, would need to take their place, or the world's business would suddenly come to a standstill. Sloth would take the place of industry, and poverty and want would supplant comfort and affluence." Is that happening in our world? Is that pretty much what has happened everywhere it has been tried? Propose remedies. An interesting paragraph here, at the bottom of page 473. "Communism proposes a social system in which there will be community of goods, in which all property shall be owned in common and operated in the general interest, and all profits from all labor be devoted to the general welfare, to each according to his needs. The tendency of communism was illustrated in the French Commune. Its definition by Reverend Joseph Cook is, 'Communism means the abolition of inheritance, the abolition of the family, the abolition of nationalities, the abolition of religion, the abolition of property.'" And this is years before communism ever gained power. Russia, 1917. Now he continues, some features of communism we could commend, see socialism, but as a whole, it is quite impracticable. Insight, I think, from 2 years ago. Now we get to socialism, bottom of page 482. Socialism as a civil government would propose to secure the reconstruction of society, the increase of wealth, and a more nearly equal distribution of the products of labor through the public collective ownership of land and capital, wealth other than real estate, and the management of all industries by the public collectively. Its motto is, everyone according to his deeds. It differs from nationalism in that it does not propose to reward all individuals alike. It differs from communism in that it does not advocate a community of goods or property. It thus, in our judgment, avoids the errors of both and is a very practical theory if it could be introduced gradually and by wise, moderate, unselfish men. Now, those ifs are the problem wherever it's been tried. Take the richest country in South America, Venezuela. Just 2 years ago, they had food riots in the streets of the capital. Nationalism, page 490. Nationalism is a later development of theory along the lines of socialism. It claims that all industries should be conducted by the nation on the basis of common obligation to work and a general guarantee of livelihood, all workers to do the same amount of work and to get the same wages. Curiously, all three of those were considered progressive of World War II. Progressive, the word Nazi, stands for National Socialist German Workers' Party. How well did it work? Reminded that, originally Adolf Hitler hated capitalism before he hated the communists or the Jews. Interesting. Not sure what to make of it all, but interesting. Now, how well have these political, quote, ideals, unquote, worked? Hitler in Germany, Stalin in the USSR, and Mao in China murdered together 2% of the then world's population, perhaps nearly half of them farmers in the Ukraine and China. Many countries were able to replace communism only by revolution. Proposed remedies. But there is no solution in this world. The Battle of Armageddon. No one symbol can describe the Day of Vengeance. The war of the great day of God the Almighty. A great earthquake in 18. Fire of Jehovah's jealousy. Isaiah 3:8. Jehovah's way is in the whirlwind and in the storm. Nehemiah. As a tempest of hail, a destroying storm. As a tempest of mighty waters overflowing, will he cast down to the earth. Isaiah 2. My determination is to gather the nations that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour out upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the peoples a pure language that they may all call upon the name of Jehovah, to serve him with one consent. I'm grateful for the outcome. The wisdom of this world cannot see that yet, can it? Dropping down a little bit farther into page 529 forward, suggests two events are types of Armageddon. First, the fall of Israel at the end of the Jewish age, which, by the way, included internal factioning. There were three factions in Jerusalem at the time it fell. They were killing each other, not just the Romans killing them. And the French Revolution, that he suggests, is a type of Armageddon. To me, the latter, that is that one, the French Revolution, might be a warning. I'm not so sure about it being a type, though I suppose I won't be positive on that. We consider Ezekiel 37, that's the Jews coming back to their land. That started less than 150 years ago. Today, 45% of the Jews are back in their land. In Ezekiel 38, we have an eastern blot, and it must first form. The great Russians are to be at the head of Meshek, or Armenia. You can appreciate that. Glendale has the largest Armenian population of any city outside of Armenia. Tubal, that's Caucasian Georgia, has nothing to do with Atlanta, but over in the Caucasus Mountains between the Black Sea and the Caspian. Persia, Iran. Kush, Black Africa. Put, North Africa, west of Egypt. Gomer, including the Germanic and Slavic peoples. And Togarma, the Turkic peoples, previously just included under Gomer. Difference is perhaps that the Germanic and Slavic peoples have a Christian history, whereas the Turkic peoples tend to be Muslim. And it's only since 1979 that Iran has been in the Eastern Bloc, after 2,500 years of being mortal enemies with the Great Russians. And now, today, we are watching Turkey change sides also. But Sheba and Dedan, that's Arabia, are shown at the head of the Western Bloc. That's not very good news for us here, is it? Western Bloc is Western Europe and its former colonies. And as Jeremiah 30, verse 7 says, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." I won't get into the details as to whether the time of Jacob's trouble is Jacob's part in the time of trouble that we're now in since World War I, or whether it's limited to Armageddon. But it does assure us that it's the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Well, maybe there's no safer place on earth than in Israel. "I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits, as it were frogs." Mention three big spirits in the world today, I think, are atheism, Islam, and what's left of Christianity. "For they are spirits of demons working signs, which go forth unto the kings of the whole world to gather them together unto the war of the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief." This reminder. "Blessed is he that watcheth, and they that keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into the place which is called in Hebrew Har Mageddon. And the seventh poured out his bowl, or vial, upon the air. And there came forth a great voice out of the temple from the throne, saying, It is come to be, for it is done." Like our Lord's words on the cross, it is finished. Evidently the church complete. "And there came to be lightnings and voices and thunders, and there came to be a great earthquake such as was not since there came to be men upon the earth, so great an earthquake, so mighty. And the great city," we would connect that particularly with Rome, "came to be divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And Babylon the Great was remembered in the sight of God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail, every stone about the weight of a talent, cometh down out of heaven upon men. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof is exceeding great." Won't go into it, but you'll remember that in the time of the judges, Joshua or the judges, that there was a great hail that destroyed the enemy army, and more were destroyed by the hail than were destroyed. Now, our Lord's great prophecy. Well, we had Matthew 24 previously here, and also the Herald magazine of May-June of 2019 is dedicated to Matthew 24. But there are two notable features in verse 15. "When therefore ye see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, having stood in the holy place." Our common version simply says standing in the holy place. But as often happens, it's careless with the tense. So When you see this abomination of desolation spoken of through the Daniel the prophet, having stood in the holy place, it means that there is at least a temporary, either temporary or permanent, cessation of it. Let them that are in Judea flee unto the mountains. This generation... Okay, I'll do that in a moment. So that is why, I should say it's a good part of why our brethren back in the 19th century noticed that the papacy was temporarily terminated in 1798 and 9. And the new pope that finally was elected wasn't even elected in Rome, because he had to Rome to do it. So it's from that point on that brethren started to think about this call, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins. Could we go back into sectarianism? Or should we bring sectarianism with us, as was done when Brother Russell died? And then another scripture, and that is verse 34, this generation shall not pass away till all these things might come to pass. There's been a lot of talk about what this may mean. This generation, how long a generation? Is it 70 years? 100 years? Or is it 30 years? But there's another possibility. That is from Psalms 22:30. It says, a generation shall serve him, Jehovah, the Lord, and it shall be accounted unto him for a generation. All the consecrated members of the church are sons of one father. They also can be considered, therefore, one generation. So it may be saying, this generation of the church shall not be ended till all of these things must begin happening. Dropping now down to volume 4, page 614, it says, tests our Lord's prophecy, like those of the others, is veiled in symbolic and parabolic language, and for the same purpose, that, quote, none of the wicked should understand, but the meek, honest, and faithful of God's people only, in God's due time and way. Now we look forward to what's beyond Armageddon. Time of trouble has lasted a lot longer than I think any of us could have foreseen, 120, 100. But the brethren back then looked forward to the establishment of the kingdom afterwards, and we today still have to look forward to it, though not nearly by so many years. Haggai 2, 7 and 9. I will shake all nations, there's our time of trouble, and the precious things or the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith Jehovah of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, saith Jehovah of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith Jehovah of hosts. So we look forward to this time, not so very far off. The first temple was literal, and it was filled with glory. Smoke filled the temple. But this will be the temple whose body are ye. This will be the true temple that the material temple was looking forward to, typifying. That is to be Christ and the church. Now, variously, it's called the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 15:24. Or the kingdom of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:24 again. The kingdom of the saints, Revelation 5:9-10. Or the kingdom of the ancient worthies. And then a number of other scriptures that we really won't have time to go through. So concluding with Jehovah's footstool made glorious, from Isaiah 60:13. Thus saith Jehovah, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. I will make the place of my feet glorious. Right now, the footstool is not all that glorious, is it? No matter where you live, far short of the glory that will follow. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be cleft in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north and half of it towards the south. So if you were to look, and let's assume that this is north over here, and you have the Mount of Olives, which would be on the east of Jerusalem, and there's an earthquake at Part's company, so that part goes to the north and part goes to the south. There's a valley straight to the east, makes it possible then to see the sun rising that much earlier. Kingdom comes at sun rising. So on the last page of the volume, there's a scripture cited. God's footstool shall be glorious indeed then, as it is written, as truly as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of Jehovah. Verse 14:21. Just a little aside. Sister Mariah Russell, Brother Russell's wife or then ex-wife, claims to have written most of the volumes. Did she perhaps write most of the fourth volume? Well, except for the first chapter and maybe the last three or four, they're heavy on documentary material but lighter on scripture. Well, I suppose it is possible. Brother Russell read and approved all that went into it. It's interesting, it's possible that all those documentary chat by her wife. Well, in that is sort of between the last time and this, a sort of synopsis of the material in the Day of Vengeance and the Battle of Armageddon. We tried to point out areas in which it seemed to be particularly well done and applicable today, as well as a couple places where it may have fallen a little short. But we can conclude now with hymn number 358. Number 358.